All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Babbles Nonsense podcast. I have Miss Olivia Sparks back on the episode today. We're just going to talk about everything.
Hey,
everything
guys.
And anything. So stay tuned. All right, all right. So we have Miss Olivia Sparks.
Hello.
Back on the podcast.
My favorite place to be.
She was voted number two most downloaded, listened to episode in 2022. So yeah, it only is fitting that she's back. We just had a great time.
No, you are too kind. I am so awkward, like with, so, ooh, I just hit the mic, sorry. With like statistics and stuff. Like, no, I appreciate it. It is so kind that someone wanted to listen to my annoying voice for an hour.
You're not annoying, first of all. You're so funny. And you can, like we were just talking prior to the podcast, we can carry on a conversation with each other.
Yeah.
So easy to talk to. So I was like, who better to host
with me? Of course, because we're friends. Like, yeah. we can bounce off of each other and...
Two redheads and
a microphone. Yeah, exactly. Two redheads and a microphone.
That's the next podcast. We're gonna get another podcast going. So Olivia had a great idea. She's really given me a lot of the ideas for the podcast in 2023 so far. The New Year's podcast was her idea. Credit her 100%. Credit where credit is due, right?
I'm just a little ADHD idea making machine in here.
I'm like, give me all the ideas because I don't have them.
Girl. And I'm a podcast lover. So I kind of, whatever works for the podcast that I love, like the reasons I tune into those, I want to hone in on because same. I know it's what people will enjoy to listen to.
Same. So Olivia had a great idea to do some ins and outs of 2023. I didn't know this was a trend. We're going to get to that. But first, I want to talk to Olivia and catch up with her because it's been a minute since she's been on the podcast. You know, I totally said I was going to see what episode you were on so I could relate back.
Oh, you
didn't
are
do
fine.
It.
I do not know.
But it's fine. Y'all, she's been on the podcast. Scroll back. I only got like 60 episodes. It's not that hard to find.
I know it's called Makeup Artist, Not a Magician.
Yes.
I don't know the number, but I know it's
I'll try that. To find the number and put it in the show notes.
Sweet.
But what's been up since you've been on the podcast last? I know you got some changes going on. Tell us what's been going on.
So I have moved studios. I'm at a new studio about two blocks from the old one. I'm in Hartselle right now just because I priced studio space in Huntsville. And oh my gosh, like three mortgages for an 8x10 room. So I ended up going with a space in Hartselle. It's south of Main Salon Suites, or just South Salon Suites is what we call it. It's a really cool environment. I've never worked in a spa or like salon before. So I'm working with a lot of women and it's nice just to go and be able to like close the door and have my own little space. It's all mine. I can leave things there during the week if I need to. I have a sink to myself that I can wash brushes at. Like it's been great. It's been such a blessing really. And it's affordable for me. So that's really been great. And then just since we've been under renovations with my house, which I swear never ends, it's been nice to have a place to see clients that isn't my house. So as long as we're still working on it, I won't be seeing any clients there. But it's great to have a studio space that I can bring them to and not be like embarrassed of it.
And I guess I probably should have said, if you've made it this far, Olivia does makeup. She's a makeup artist. She's professionally doing that. She does a lot of weddings. You were doing classes last year where you were actually going to people, teaching them classes. People could book you for girls' night. So tell us what's new in 2023 for your business. What have you gotten rid of?
Okay.
Tell us all the things.
So probably midway through 2022, I decided, like, basically, if it's costing me my mental health and my happiness, it's not worth it. It's too expensive. So I started, you know, making a list of things that were draining me and then things that were giving me life that I wanted to do more of and make more time for. So one of those things that was draining me was classes. And I say that just because, like, I love teaching. I love sharing education about something I'm passionate in, like whether it's skin or makeup, beauty, whatever. I love to educate others about stuff that I'm passionate about, I guess, because I'm comfortable just sitting and like talking about it for
totally
a long time.
That.
But I didn't know that, I guess being on like Tennessee Valley Living. That's a local news program here that I'm on monthly to go over like makeup tips and things like that. It brought in a new age group of clients that I was not used to. A lot of my clients are either in college or high school, like high school seniors, or just graduated college and got engaged and they're doing their weddings. I rarely see anyone, you know, over 35, 36. So anyways, I market everything on Instagram. I don't have like a Facebook page. I'm trying to market towards clients that I most relate to, which are around my age. So I was on a few newscasts last year and it brought in clients in their 70s and surprisingly 80s.
That's awesome.
Got a lot of bookings, which I was so excited about at first, for one-on-one classes of like people just gifting their grandmothers and things like, makeup classes. And you just would not believe when I ask people, you know, show up with your makeup kit or buy these brushes and we'll use them on the day of. And then they show up and they're like, so I got this brush that you recommended. What end do I use? Like, what do I do with this brush? And I'm like, okay, well, we're going to start with the end with the brush on it, not the pointy end.
Okay, but for real though, I'm 35 and I'm that 80-year-old.
Oh my.
Because I don't know how to use brushes. I don't know what brushes go with what. I need your makeup class.
No, I don't do anything like, I don't do anything complicated. It's just, no, I'm just like,
I truly don't know what brush goes with what.
Exactly. And I think I overestimated like how much people knew about makeup. I always went into it like,
0%.
Here's a beginner's, you know, how to, and it would take 2.5 hours every single time. So it's a 2.5 hour day. But people like, I didn't know that people have literally used, you know, the applicator, the sponge applicator that comes with their makeup from CVS for the past 20 years, and they've never changed that sponge that's falling apart. So when I say, hey, go buy a face brush, we're going to apply this powder with the brush now instead of this, you know, janky sponge you've been using for 20 years, people lost their minds. It was like, what? I'm supposed to use a brush for this? And it, to me, having to explain the whys, or like I had, you know, I sat for hours and made a product list. And if you purchased my class to come do the one-on-one, you got a full list of products for any skin tone. Then you could send me a picture. I would tell you which tone you were. So you'd go buy the colors and shades within that skin tone range on my PDF document that I created. It took hours. And so you would get that and then you would take the class and then I would send you a PDF with a face chart on it and it would have your exact colors and which brushes to use with what. It was like a 6-page breakdown.
That. I like that.
So after you leave the class, you get a PDF document of what we talked about.
That's a lot of time.
It is so much time. And so I would send these people, you know, my 3-page product breakdown. They would send a picture. I would tell them what, you know, what shade range they're in. And then they would show up and be like, hey, so when I sent you that picture, it was actually like winter. And now that it's April, I just feel like I'm not fair anymore. I'm medium to tan, which in my head is like a Fitzpatrick level 3 to 4, which is like almost Indian type skin. That level of skin tone, like very deep tan olive. Yeah. And these people would just be like, you know, it's springtime now, so I'm a medium to deep. And
so
I'm,
why did you send me the wrong picture then?
So then they would come in with like makeup 4 skin tones darker than them. And it's like when you're at Target and you hold up a foundation and it is like, and you're a white girl, I'm just going to say it. And you hold up a foundation that's named Ebony and you're like, well, she said to get it, so it's going to work for me. It was that kind of just common sense kind of things that were like,
okay, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
And they would show up and we wouldn't be able to do, like, I'd have to pull everything from my kit because they were like, well, I told myself I'm tan now because it's April and now I'm deep. And it's like, in your mind, is the deepest skin tone, like, are you the deepest skin tone? Like, how close? I don't know. I was just like, girl, like,
this ain't
and this
working.
Happened multiple times where, like, I would tell people exactly what to get and they would be like, well, I just don't wear brown and black eyeliner. And I usually recommend browns for people. So she's like, you know, I only use navy blue. So I brought my navy blue and I don't like any of the palettes you sent me. So I brought my blue and gray palette from CoverGirl from 1994.
I don't like anything you sent me. You're the makeup artist. Don't like it.
I don't want to learn anything from this class. So I'm just going to show up with what I've got and not take any of your advice and bring my moldy makeup. And you're going to teach me how to make it look like you do on your Instagram feed.
Yeah.
And so it set this unrealistic expectation because I would send them the exact instructions and people just don't follow instructions.
That reminds me of when I was a nutrition coach, like people wouldn't do what I recommended. So yeah. I lost so much passion. So I don't know if that's how you felt. Like if you're like, okay, this is taking the passion that I have for makeup out of it. So
it is.
I quit my business.
Well, I just pivoted, honestly. Well, like
good for you because I quit.
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to stop teaching. I'll do it for free now, like beginner type tutorials on Instagram. Ooh, my get ready with me videos, GRWM. But I'm not going to spend 6 hours coming up with lists with your exact product names when you're going to show up and bring all the wrong things, the things I've told you not to get. And then you're going to leave upset because I didn't make you look like, you know, my signature style when you didn't follow any of the directions to begin with. So
I'm with you. I was frustrating. Feel you.
And that's not every class. I had so many good experiences with people who genuinely, like, I felt like they left and they felt the hottest they've ever felt in their life. And that gave me so much joy. But it's easier for me to give people a breakdown on Instagram from the comfort of my home and not have to get dressed up, drive to the studio, teach for 3 hours, go home, get on my computer, do their face chart for another 3 hours and type all the products and steps that they used and then email it to them for them to email back and be like, it just doesn't look like you do it.
Well, I'm like, I
can't give you my hands. I can teach you the techniques, but if you sit there the whole class and tell me how crazy it is and how bizarre it is that I'm wetting a sponge versus using it just dry, I can't fight with you. Like, don't pay for it. If you're like, if you're going to go learn something or you're getting a service done, like you pay for, you know, a facial with someone and it's like they're the best at facials. And then you get there and you're like, well, my other girl always uses hot towels and a steamer and you don't. Well, that's not their method, you know? Yeah. And if you want a face like you've seen on their feed, you need to go with their method. Like, you don't go to a personal trainer and be like, actually, I just hate everything about this and I'm going to work out on my own. You're not going to see the same results that personal trainer has because you've made your own method. 1,000%. So don't save them the time of day and the brain cells and don't spend your money, you know,
well, I think that goes back
learning
to,
if you don't want
to
learn.
I think that goes back to like you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to say with like businesses in general and how like you were great at pivoting where I just quit.
Yeah.
And we were going to talk a little bit about like businesses and starting up your own company and businesses a little bit, which we will get to. I don't want to like pivot too far because I don't want to take away from.
Sure.
So what were you, so if you took away the classes, are you now offering something different?
So a lot of people have asked before, like, am I going to get into microblading or am I going to go get my aesthetics license or am I going to go get, you know, a hairstyling cosmetology license or whatever? And the answer is no. And that is for a very good reason. I think there comes a point like when you're a new business owner or you're a new service provider where you feel like you've got to do 50 things to keep up with everyone else. And if you're not providing 50 different services, then you're not ever going to get booked. Or I'm not getting booked with makeup, so let me dip my fingers into hair or nails or skin or whatever until something hits. I learned it's best not to just throw stuff at the wall hoping something sticks.
Agreed.
When I went to bed at night, it was like, what is the one thing that I wanted to wake up at 7 a.m. for and leave my house for on a Saturday?
Yeah.
That was not hair. That was not skin. That was not nails, spray tanning, stuff like that. It was makeup. So I'm not going to invest 60 or 70% of my time into other little things. I'm going to put 100% of myself into one thing instead of 10% of myself into 10 things. So I got really, really good at makeup. And I feel like because I'm so passionate about it and I put all my energy into this one service, I'm not like it keeps me one of the top in my field. And I don't mean to sound braggy. I'm not spreading myself too thin.
No, I think you're onto something because like my personal trainer that I used to have, Annie Miller, she's got a great following. She talks about how she's like a six-figure business, not like a multiple six-figure business. She talks about how she honed in on her niche.
Yes, niching down is a huge
thing. And she got rid of the things. And being mm-hmm. that, like, so she got rid of one-on-one clients, meaning now I don't get to be trained by her. But she was like, it just wasn't worth my time. And she wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
She was like, it just wasn't worth the time that I was putting into it when I can have so much more revenue over in this field because she's so much more passionate about creating and teaching. So that's the way she went. Absolutely. So she got rid of her one-on-one, just kind of like you got rid of your one-on-one. And she was like, it just wasn't worth my time. Like, it was good revenue. Yes. Don't get me wrong. Like, the money was great. She was like, it just wasn't worth my time.
Yes.
And so I think that there's something to be said in that, because a lot of people, like you say, will like, well, I don't want to say no, or I don't want to give this up, or, you know, that's a lot of money, or, and that's hard for me because going back to the business, which I said we would get to, which let's just go ahead and get into it. I became an independent contractor for my business. So I became the business, and I had to hone in on what can I do, you know, what am I trying to say? Like, what can I do to drive this business of me in the healthcare field? And I had to get better at time management.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already good at it, but I had to get better at it because
I am not. I'm just going to say it.
Well, I had to be with being in the ER, you know, like working in the ER. But like,
absolutely. You are just like my sister, and we are polar opposites in the fact that, like, she can stay on track and she's got an end goal in mind. And I am just floating in this world. Like, Jesus, I hope I don't die today. Like, that's just how I flow. Like, I'm like,
but like, I've always been very independent, self-driven. And now that I literally work for myself, I'm like, I'm kind of lazy. I'm like, I literally have to be
it
like,
it is easy.
It is. Because it is, I was like, I could go do this work, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I need to, because I have to make
money. No, the perk of having your own business is being able to make your own schedule. But it's so easy to be like, you know, I'm on my period this week. I'm just not going to schedule any clients.
I'm good.
And then you look at your like rent bill, or your, you know, the bill for my personal assistant. And it's like, oh, crap. I just skipped a whole week of work that wasn't vacation. It wasn't planned. I just got lazy and just put it off.
You got a personal assistant?
Yes.
So, what?
Not technically like a person. Like, she doesn't do my laundry or anything. No. This is just like
your tasks.
My virtual assistant. Okay. Yes.
So, how, why, when?
Love. So, she owns a venue here in Huntsville. Her name is Mary Laban Wally. You can check out her venue, RNS Estates, on Instagram.
I think I've heard of that.
She actually owns that venue. And then when she's not, you know, doing tours of the venue, she offers admin assisting to wedding vendors. So she niched down to the wedding world. She knows weddings. She knows brides. She knows how to, you know, talk to people in that field. And she took some classes and did some like social media marketing courses and things like that. So basically, you pay her however many hours a month that you want her services. And for me, like, her goal was to solve your problems. So for me, my problems was email management. I get so many emails, and it is... That is something, it's not makeup, so it drains
it's
probably, me.
It's because you get like, you turn inside and you're like, yes, nope.
Yep. I would rather somebody else just write back. If I'm unavailable, that would take me, for me to stay on task for an hour, it's not going to happen. I mean, if I don't take my Adderall, it will not happen. So I could sit down and have 20 emails, and I might be unavailable for 11 of those people's dates, or have somebody already booked for that date or whatever. And to have someone that can, when I wake up in the morning, those 11 emails of unavailable, they've been replied to and referred to a friend, which is also good to build, you know, build connections and relationships to people that you can refer out to, that builds community. So my admin assistant would wake up, she would reply to all those unavailable emails, so that when I woke up, the peace of knowing, oh, I only have 4 emails in my inbox, and I know I'm available for all of them. So all I got to do is send them my pricing.
Yeah.
So relaxing for me, rather than opening my email inbox and seeing like 20 emails missed overnight. And it's draining. I hate seeing a number. I hate when I look at my text inbox, if I have like a missed message, I cannot go to sleep until it is answered.
Same.
So I have to tell my best friends, like, leave me on read, because if you write me back, something about ADHD. I gotta be the last one to send you like good night.
Maybe I have ADHD.
Or goodbye. Or like heart the text.
I do the same.
But if I roll over and I see a notification, I will be up for another 20 minutes.
Same.
It's ridiculous.
I might need to go to the doctor.
So this girl has really helped me not have to wake up and see the notifications, because I cannot get stuff done if I see a missed, like a notification or a message. Now, Instagram, that's a whole nother Pandora's box.
Does she help you with that?
She does not. So I stopped in 2022 when I moved to the new studio. I stopped taking any DM booking inquiries. So okay. If you send me a DM and it's like, hi, are you available this Thursday for me to do? I'm immediately going to send you the link to my website, and then it's up to you whether you want to fill it out or not. But I can't, the number of DMs,
I agree like, with that.
If you get like 15 to 20 DMs in one day, Instagram has this weird glitch where it's going to mix them all up and not put them in chronological order. Oh. I just found out the other day that I have a, so if you're a business, if you're a business account, you can have like a, message requests. So you have a hidden folder on freaking Instagram with requests of what people that want to message you.
Yeah.
The day I found that, and I saw the number of people from like 52 weeks ago, you had a missed, you have a request from so-and-so. Are you available next Tuesday?
And it doesn't notify you. It's not a notification.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, how many people think that I'm, you know, mad at them or ignoring them completely? Because I have not seen their message, and I'm not tech friendly at all. I don't, like, that's another thing Mary helps me with. Like, she'll do research on what hashtags are hitting this week and which ones that you should be hashtagging, or trending reel sounds. Like, she will send me the sounds and be like, this one's really hitting this week, just letting you know. So she's really good at like social media marketing and stuff. And if she's not using the full 3 hours to answer emails for me, she'll do it. She'll do other work, like sending me common hashtags or reels trending or products that are coming out that I need to be working, like, pumping up or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's really good at that. Instagram is so like fickle. They're always trying to improve Instagram. I feel like the people at Instagram are working on overtime, trying to be all the other apps. And then they put less and less time on user like interface. And that, like, when I see my DM inbox and I think I've answered them all, and then I go to what's now called like the requests or whatever, and I see a whole other like 23 missed ones from 6 weeks ago. That like, it pisses me off, stresses me out. Now you do get a lot of like, hi, it's React Activewear. Do you want to, if you buy $50 worth of our leggings, we'll send you a pair free
jewelry
for a good review. And I'm like, okay.
I get a lot of jewelry ads. And
then
I'm
you
like,
get a lot of like sugar daddies that are like, hey, are you single? And I'm like, are you, like, obviously they've never seen any of my stuff before, because like, Greg's one of my favorite things to make fun of on the pod, like not podcast, but on my Instagram stories. So like, this person's obviously a bot.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy. I hate seeing like a full inbox of any type, whether it's DM or text or email or whatever. So Mary, I did get a personal assistant. She helps me clear that out so that I can put my energy into what I love, which is makeup.
Yeah.
And to do makeup all day and it be amazing and you love your job, and then you have to go home and sit on a computer and do admin work, which is why I quit my 9-to-5, like my day job.
Yeah.
Because I have done HR before. I've done a customer service manager position.
We found out on the last podcast.
Oh my gosh. As a child. No, but I did jobs with a lot of
You're
paperwork.
You're doing modeling now.
I wouldn't, I would not call that modeling.
Yes, you are.
I just am helping friends with photo shoots, and that, and it's fun for everyone involved.
Bitch, you
we just
model.
Have fun.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm 5'1", okay? Let's not get crazy.
You're 5'1" and cute as hell, so shut
I
up.
I cannot with you.
But your classes have not fully gone away. You said that
yes,
you are
I'm doing
offering
more
them.
Online. Yeah. Like, you can tune in if you want. If I annoy the crap out of you, do not watch. Like, if I cause you to be mentally unstable because you see my clothes or my house or whatever, like, please unfollow. I hate when people view you just to like send it to people so that they can just talk about like, ugh, her skin or her lips or her talk, like
people
the way she talks or whatever. Like, I don't know. I would imagine, because like for big influencers, I used to do that. And I literally would be like, oh, this girl's voice,
Olivia.
Or like, I can't stand her voice when she talks. And I'm like, that
you have.
Why do I even follow this person? Because the only thing I think when their story comes across is how annoying they put, like, they put me in an annoyed mood. So I started unfollowing influencers and like mommy bloggers from what is it called, Utah, that weren't giving me joy. Like, if I'm annoyed with you, I'm just gonna block you or like mute your story. I didn't know that was a thing until Instagram was like, hey, you can now mute people. But if I'm causing someone to have like,
you're not
like mental problems, like if I'm causing someone stress, please, by all means.
First of all, you don't have an annoying voice. Your content is relevant. People need to know this. I still don't know how to apply makeup other than brown eyeshadow.
Oh, girl. We'll work on it. We'll have to do a vlog of the podcast.
I was going to say, one day we're going to have to do a video podcast. For sure. Because Caitlin Reynolds swears by you. She says you're the best accessory she has ever had. She was like, if I would not have, like, she was like, Olivia Sparks is the best accessory I've ever had because she taught me how to do makeup.
Cannot. How precious.
Her makeup is always glow, like, she always looks glowing.
Yes.
And I love the fact that she just is like, techniques. Olivia Sparks.
Yeah. A lot of it's skincare, I will say. I will not ever, like, gatekeep the Estes because everyone should be taking care of their skin first. But there are ways to make your makeup last all day and for you to look younger. There's ways to make yourself look a different shape. There's tricks you can do to make people ultimate catfish. Like if you want to be a catfish, I got you. But if you want to look like yourself, I also got you.
We
got
to do that because I don't know how to apply makeup. So,
girl, it'd be so fun. And I feel like I already know your coloring because we're both redheads. Yeah. Like a lot of people can't do makeup on redheads.
I can't do makeup on a redhead and I am a redhead. And I'm so, like, there's that.
You can do a full range of skin, like from shade 1 to shade 40, but you can't match a redhead. Like, we got issues. Like, the world needs to practice on more redheads because, like, the past year, all the focus was like diversity and like basically whatever skin tone you are, trying to practice on people of other skin tones. And that was a huge thing. And I am a huge proponent of that. Like, I think that's amazing to be able to do. You can't call yourself a makeup artist, like a professional, if you cannot work and properly match undertones on all skin ranges.
Agreed.
I will say it is much easier to do a person with melanin in their skin of any type.
Really?
Than a pale person, because you can see through, like, I am the lightest shade of every foundation I've ever tried. You can see through my skin. You can see all the colors of my veins. So a normal person would be like, oh crap, like some of her veins are blue and some of them are green. How do I match that? Mm-hmm. 'Cause you can see through my skin. Mm-hmm. My facial skin is so thin. You can see the veins through it. So it's like, is she red? Is she yellow? Is she blue? Is she green? It is the paler you are and the more harder. Fair skin tone, especially redheads, because you have a lot of redheads with freckles. I went to Sephora and the lady said, well, you have two options. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was having such frustration with not being able to match my skin with these heavy full coverage foundations. She said, you can either pick to match your freckles. I can match the shade to your freckles, or I can match the shade to your skin underneath.
Was she a real makeup artist?
She was not a redhead, I would say that. So, she was just an employee, like at Sephora, you know? And I was like, you know, back then, this was years ago, probably more than four, but she was just like, okay, we're going to go with the color of your freckles. I think that would look the most natural because you're going to look like a ghost if I use the color of your natural skin without freckles. And she gave me the shade Honey. First off, if there's any brand that has the shade Honey, it is too dark for me. So I took it home and I was like, yeah, I look amazing. My mom's like, we need to have a discussion. Like, I looked scary. And so I ended up returning it. But the point is here, it's a lot harder to match someone that skin is literally transparent, like so thin and pale and see-through that you can see all the veins underneath, because you're like, how do I match to a vein? If I use green foundation, they're going to look sick. If I use blue, they're going to look dead. If I use red, they're going to look sunburnt. So it's finding an undertone for a super, super fair person, 10 times harder than matching someone that might be like a Fitzpatrick level 5 or 6, which just means African-American, deeper toned skin, Hawaiian, Indian, Pacific Islanders. Like, it's a lot easier to match people that have a tan for me, someone that's darker, than to match a fair person. So when you're looking at a makeup artist, if you are a pale girl or a redhead, make sure they have pictures in their portfolio where their chest matches their face, proper undertones. We don't have a yellow face and a pink redheaded body. That's not acceptable. So just whatever, if you're looking for a makeup artist and you want to hire someone, make sure they have, you know, pictures of work of your skin tone or your coloring so that you know that they are going to, when you leave their chair, you're not going to look worse than when you came.
Agree with that 100%. Can't wait for you to teach me makeup. Mm-hmm. And all the dates I'm going to go on, going to look fire as fuck.
Oh, yes, girl. We have to do an episode on dating. I would die.
I've been dying.
Not that I've been on a date in literally years.
So we can do an experiment.
I would die.
Since I'm the single one, I can get back on the dating app. I can go on some serial dates and we can talk about them.
Oh my gosh. We should do a makeover. I should give you a makeover, then send you out. And then you just record little bits and pieces while we're in the bathroom podcast. Of like... what their immediate red flags, immediate like
I'll
goes,
send you
green lights,
vlogs from the bathroom so we can document it so we won't forget.
We should do that. Absolutely.
Done and done.
Best idea ever.
Should I put on my profile though, like, be careful what you do because you may end up on a podcast so that they know?
I think that the right men, like say 10 years down the line when you've found the one and they go back and listen to like your first date podcast, I think it will be endearing. I think they will laugh. I know my husband would die if he had like a mental note of like all the things that went through my head when we were dating. He would have died because I think of the funniest stuff. But like, I would.
They
just,
say you can't scare the right one away.
No, you literally cannot.
I think it's a good idea. But do you warn them first on the profile that you have a podcast and it like, could end
put,
up on the podcast?
Put on your podcast, like podcast host, whatever, so they know that they're entering into free range country. Like,
so it's like, hey,
as soon as they leave for the bathroom, we are taking notes.
Like, this is the contract.
Exactly.
Right here. You 100%. Know, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Exactly.
All right. We're doing that. So before we, so this is, we thought we were going to get into the ins and outs. That's probably going to be next week's podcast because we had to do a little catch up episode. But I do want to know, because you've talked about on Instagram, your home renovations, you've moved. What's going on in that home life?
Oh my. Okay. So some people in life are blessed with nice homes and cars and pretty skin. Everything's perfect. And the rest of us were blessed with trauma and a sense of humor. And I have trauma and I have humor. And that is what gets me through the day, is being able to laugh at the trauma. This freaking house, we bought it in 2016. We have one bedroom done so far. We had been up until January 1st, like literally the 1st is when we moved into our bedroom. But before then, we were sleeping in the living room. So we had a king bed next to the, like the oven.
I did not know that.
The oven and the kitchen island. And we were just living on one side of this house, like jammed in there until the rest could get renovated.
Yeah.
It started like we had that snowfall that day and it was like it got down to like 9 degrees outside and our house didn't have insulation yet.
Oh my gosh, Olivia.
So we sold the tiny house last year. It sold so fast. We did not have time.
Wait, whoa, back up. Back up. So you had a tiny house.
Mm-hmm. We moved into
this house.
Another small, very small house.
So were you living in both?
We were renovating. So
you've been renovating. Yes. This is 2016.
This
but
house
lived in the tiny house.
Is 1,000 square foot.
Okay.
It's tiny, which by the way, me and Greg are not, we're not having kids. We've decided that like we're both great.
That's
with
another
it.
Podcast.
Yeah. So we're not, we are fine. We want to have so many passive income streams, like rental homes, real estate, whatever. Online education for me, stuff like
so
that, that we can travel
in.
And we don't have to be present
1,000%.
At work. So this was our first purchase. When we got married, we purchased this house that we knew would be a rental house eventually. Then we moved into a bigger house and it was great. Then the market like hit the fan and our friend convinced us to sell our house and our subdivision. And Greg's like, well, where do we go? Like it sold in 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
So we sold our subdivision house and had nowhere to go. And Greg was like, I've got an idea. Like we're going to do it. We're moving into a container. Like, what is it called? Like not a caboose, but a train. They're on trains. Like those plastic boxes, like, a box car or wait, like a container home.
Yeah.
But it's like a boxcar, like it goes on a train. It's literally plastic.
Okay, I'm learning so much right now because I had no idea.
Ho. Like, he is an engineer and he's always positive. Bless him. He was like, yeah, man, I'm going to do this. We're going to make this plastic house. And it, when we're done,
plastic house,
it's just going to sit in our backyard and you can see your clients there. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like our house is going to look like Sanford and Sons because now we have an ugly rental house, this tiny house that's been sitting here forever. Sorry, not the tiny house yet, but we'd have this house with a tiny shed behind it. And then we're also going to have this plastic container box that we lived in. Like, it's just an eyesore.
We need pictures so we could literally figure this out. You got
to just picture. So I told him, like, he was ready to buy this, the plastic container home, and it would just come like a empty plastic boxcar, and then you have to insulate it, do the flooring, do air conditioning, windows. You have to cut out little windows in the plastic.
Like, oh, so you're doing everything,
every single thing.
Wow.
So it essentially comes as a plastic box, and then you make it into a house. And people in Houston and these like cities that are like with all the gentrification, they're like, oh yeah, come to our container subdivision. And it's like, okay, but it's still a bunch of plastic boxes
right now.
So Greg was trying to make me, like, me, Jonna, he was trying to get me to live in one of these, and I am not a high maintenance girly. I've never been one. I don't ask for much. I pay my own way most of the time. Like, if I want a facial or skincare or a massage, I'm gonna pay for it. So
is this a container home? I had to Google it because I need a visual. No, because like I'm literally looking at or in
this
my
is
mind,
what the containers look
this
like.
This plastic box.
They added doors and stuff. It's a literal like square.
Okay.
So y'all Greg tries to get me to live. Look up like a train car home or like, yeah.
I could live in this though.
Anyways.
This is cute.
One bedroom was like 20 foot
is
long.
Is this what yours looks like?
10 it's foot cute. Wide. Ours ended up being way bigger. So he's trying to convince me of all this. And I probably sound like a spoiled brat. Like, I just cannot live in this situation. And Greg's like, it's going to be fine, honey. We'll be fine. Like, once this rental house is done, we're going to be set for life. Like, we can move into whatever house and then we'll have a monthly, we'll have all our mortgage paid for, and then we can just travel.
Yeah.
Great idea is what it sounds like. And then he goes to sleep one night, and in an attempt to like get out of the container mindset in any form or fashion, I started Googling like, please, like any house options of how we could build a quick house and get out of us buying a plastic container home. Because I don't think we would, he loved the idea. I don't think we would have ever been able to sell it. Because nobody,
marriage.
Yeah. Nobody. No. Well, how do you resell a plastic?
It's not here yet. No. It'll come.
Maybe in Huntsville, like in the city,
yeah,
not in the country where like the meth heads live. Like, that's not, it's not cool out there yet. It just looks like another meth head house. So I was just like, I can't, Greg. So
hey, I don't know. I'm pretty convinced of buying anything that's pretty. Girl. So if y'all made it good, I would buy it.
So I stayed up one night till like 3 a.m. I was Googling tiny houses, and not the kind on wheels, but like an actual smaller version of a normal house. And I know, groundbreaking. So Greg woke up the next day and I was like, I think I've got it. And I even found a place that it's the ex-Amish. So there's the Amish, and then there's a whole group of people that call themselves the ex-Amish. I didn't know that. It is a literal,
so they like
community
communicated.
Yes.
From
so
the
they started
Amish.
Using technology like cell phones and things. Yeah, yeah, they still believe in building things. So they build amazing like structures, like homes and like renovations projects. Like, they told us they could come do the flooring, the lighting, whatever, to help us get started. They also found that like, yeah, we believe in building things and doing things old fashioned, but like, it's also 2020 and we need cell phones to communicate with our children if they're going to a school. Like,
okay.
So they excommunicated from the Amish community, and then they all live
together
in the same one block of this like country road. And it's a community of people that believe you can have the best of both. Like, you can be modern day, but you can also build things for a living and raise kids on a homestead. So they were so nice, but I even found them. That's where we got the actual structure from. And you pick the, you can pick the width of it, the length. We picked like 14 foot wide by 40 foot long. It had a front porch. You pick how many windows you want. We picked the max number of windows because I love natural light. Mm-hmm. And then it was delivered to our house. And then it was an empty, like, wooden shed. Literally, like, completely empty.
Okay.
So Greg put insulation in the walls. He put like made roof bracing. Mm-hmm. He made a little attic space. He installed an air conditioning system. He did all the plumbing. We had some help from like friends that do electrical and painting and sheetrock finishing. All of our friends that are like family to us. Mm-hmm. They're very close and like they weren't going to charge. It was one of those things like you usually ask people to come over and you're like, if you help me move out of my house, I'll give you beer and pizza. We were like, if you help us build a freaking house, we'll give you beer and pizza.
Oh, wow.
So okay. They would just come over and like install light fixtures and flooring and insulation. And we were like, here you go. Like, here's your food for the day. So they probably hated us at the time. But once everybody was done, like we had people over and we grilled out and we just celebrated finishing this house in 3 weeks. So it took 3 weeks to finish a 40-foot long by 14-foot wide house. We had granite countertops. We had waterproof LVP flooring just because we have 4 chihuahuas and I wanted everything to be waterproof. Also, we looked at like in the 5-year range, if we were to sell this, the most popular place for a tiny home is on the lake. So Lake Gunnersville and Smith Lake. So we knew if we were selling it to anyone that was considering it to be their lake house, they're going to want waterproof flooring. So we thought about that. Every one of our light fixtures in the wet areas and in the living room were like rated for wet area, whatever, in case it ended up being at a lake house.
Yeah.
So we had everything, you know, planned out even as far as selling it. We were like, what are buyers going to want? They're going to want a light colored everything. Cause we knew the end game was to move into this rental house eventually when it got built and to sell the tiny home. So we started getting really close to being done with the tiny home, or sorry, I call them both the tiny home because they're both tiny. So the rental house is 1,000 square foot. The tiny home was 504 square foot. So we were living in a house half the size of the one we're going to live in now, like the rental.
Yeah.
So it got almost done. Greg's like, I've got a bedroom almost done. The living room's almost done and the kitchen's almost done. So we blocked off the bedroom area and he insulated the kitchen living room area. And we went ahead and sold the tiny house, used the money we made, moved all of our stuff into the one side of the renovation house and used the like $40,000 profit on the tiny house to finish renovations for the new house for this rental. So it helped and it paid off almost all of our debt. I'm so thankful. Like I complain a lot about like not living in a house like all my friends, like a real home. Even the house I'm in now is like a structured building, but it's not a
bought a house.
It's not a house.
I just bought a house when I was almost 33 years old.
Oh, I feel
that was my first home. I lived in a studio apartment until I was 32.
I would kill
you're younger than me.
I would kill to live in an apartment right now.
This was a studio apartment. Oh, it was 400 square feet.
Well, okay. So living minimally did teach me a lot.
I liked it. But I truly did like it.
Now we've moved into this like actual structure. And it's like I told you earlier, there are bugs that were from the biblical days that you just don't know exist. And they will crawl out of your curtains or your light fixtures. And you're just like, how in the world?
Did
like,
you get in here?
Yeah. We just built this. Yeah. We've sealed everything off. And they still, like, you find just random bugs. So squash bugs are super fun. That's like what's in season right now. Like the colder it gets, they're coming in from the outside from all the summer gardens that all our neighbors have.
Yeah.
And they just want to hide in our super cozy, very small home. So we're going through that right now. That's super fun. And then, also our neighbors have chickens. They got into chicken farming because
really
of the eggs.
Expensive right now.
Literally bought a whole chicken coop like 2 weeks ago. Yesterday I get home, the chicken coop was left open. We have chickens all in our yard. So Greg's like, I wonder if our dogs will like herd them back to the neighbors. They were scared to death. So like, we don't touch chickens. I'm just like, no, we're not going to deal with the chickens. The dogs are scared to death. But Greg was like, we should take some of their chickens. Like, they're on our property and like eggs are so expensive right now. I'm like, leave them alone, Greg. Like, we don't want any more drama with neighbors, like, period. So we're living now in, we sold the tiny house to live in our rental house. It's a renovation house. It's from the 1940s. Super, super old craftsman style home. It's super pretty, but it's just very small. So we finished the bedroom. We've got the bathroom done. It's a 2-bed, 1-bath. And we've got the whole living room and kitchen area done. So the only room left before we'll be ready to rent out and us to move out of there will be the like the guest.
Okay.
It used to be a guest bedroom. We're turning it into a master because it's further off the road.
So when we can hear that's done, traffic. The plan is to sell that and then to buy a
so
home?
We won't sell it. We're just going to use it as a monthly rental.
Okay.
It's super close to like the Decatur Hospital.
Oh, okay,
it's right
okay.
by the river. So like we have a bunch of fishing tournaments that come in like 2 miles from our house and fishers will rent it. So we've even thought of Airbnb-ing it.
Yeah.
But basically it's a little over an acre of land. We have a house on it, a fully functional and insulated shed that they can keep like storage in if they mm-hmm. need it. So we're waiting to get that one last bedroom finished and then we'll probably start looking. I don't know if we'll do like Athens, Madison area. That's what I'm pushing for. Greg is like, one with a day job, like 9 to 5, like every single day. I need to be close to work. Like your work sometimes is in Huntsville, sometimes is in Hartsville. Sometimes you're off for the whole day. So I want to be close to work. And I'm like, I just want to be close to civilization
and my
not,
friends.
Yeah. And like not have crazy neighbors. Like I just want to live in a normal neighborhood where I can like go outside and walk the dogs and not be scared.
Hey, also you should tell your husband there's a house right down the road from me for sale. It's a little bit bigger than mine.
On the way out.
It's a little bit bigger than mine and they have a lot more upgrades than mine.
Okay.
We can be neighbors. I know. And I can bring my chihuahua to be your chihuahua.
I almost brought mine today because I was like, she would love
it. I would love it.
Baby.
Oh, how old are your chihuahuas?
7, 5, and 3. The twins are 3. We call them the twins. They're from the same litter.
Cricket's a geriatric. She'll be 10 this year.
Oh my goodness. But she would still like,
she still plays. Baby, like she's
so
too
sweet. They're not the yappy, like mean.
No, mine
they're
isn't either.
So friendly. Like love everyone that comes around.
Did you
around.
Socialize them?
Yes. We take them. Same. Y'all still to this day. We're the couple that we do so many house renovations. We've built 3 houses. We built the house when we got married, like the renovation house, built it just good enough for us to move in for 6 months after we got Aww. Married till we could find a subdivision yeah. house. Bought the subdivision house. When we moved back in this one, like that we've been renovating for the past 2 years, we gutted the whole inside. So okay. all the work that we had done, I was like, ugh, I hate that floor and I hate the walls and I hate this and I want the ceilings raised. And Greg's like, okay. So we just gutted the whole thing and started fresh.
Hey,
so we've technically built 3 houses now. So the dogs, I mean, I swear the employees yeah. at the Decatur Lowe's and Home Depot know our dogs on a first name basis, but they come everywhere that it's legally allowed to have dogs. Yeah. So TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Aww. Home Goods.
I need to meet your babies.
Home Depot, Lowe's. It's all of those stores dogs are allowed in. So they come everywhere with us and they're very socialized. They love pets. They don't yap at people
Mine's
or try to
same.
Like bite.
Mine's
they're
the
very,
same.
Very loving.
When people find out I have a chihuahua, they're like, oh my God, a chihuahua. And I'm like, no, like you have to meet great. Her. Like yeah. she will literally jump from my arms to your arms yes. and lick you to death.
The
she
vets
doesn't bark.
Swear that we have labs yeah. in tiny bodies. And
everyone's
like,
she's a chihuahua. And I'm yeah. like, everyone that comes over goes, I've never met.
Yes,
a chihuahua like this.
They have to meet. Greg says our chihuahuas act like they've been smoking a lot of weed because like one of our dogs looks like Snoop Dogg and like literally is the
is
most
that his name?
Chill. No, his name's Adley, but is the most chill dog. And then we have one girl dog that like literally will just stand there while kids like, you know, smack her face or like toddlers will come up and just like hit her face or whatever. She does not flinch. She doesn't growl. Her hair doesn't raise. She's just like, just stoned looking.
I love
and
it.
And so
I love it.
We
I love
swore
it.
We were like, for Halloween we need to like dress them up like Martha Stewart. The girl can be Martha Stewart and like Adley can be Snoop Dogg. Yeah. That would have for sure won Halloween. Maybe I'll have to do that this year. But I'm really big into doing like photo shoots.
Oh my
them.
God.
Not like professional, but like when Girl, we had a porch, when we lived in a nice
you
neighborhood,
need a chihuahua Instagram.
I had a whole front porch photo shoot with them one day. I swear my neighbors were like, oh my gosh, this girl. But I had like a little blanket spread out. I had mums brought and then I had them all some turtlenecks, like matching turtlenecks for the boys and the girl. And then I posed them all and they literally just sat there and I took probably 100 pictures. And then like someone was looking, one of my clients was looking through her like before and after pictures
and I'll post it.
And she like, oh, absolutely.
Like I'll post it when I'll post that when I post our,
you're going to die. One of my clients is like looking at her before and afters and the scrolling back. And she was like, I'm now at a dog photo shoot. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Because I made them take individual portraits and then group
Cricket
portraits.
Cricket will not be still Girl. For a portrait.
Oh, mine like, will pose. They are straight up like Vogue. Me. Mommy taught them very young. Like,
she'll pose for prunes. Me, but not if other people are around. Because she wants to be like, who's that? So the guy I was dating, like she is in love with him. So when he comes over and like watches movies with me or whatever,
yeah,
she will sit on his lap. And if I try to move her, like, I'm like, okay, I want, like, I'm trying to cuddle, like, move. Yeah. She'll go,
like, yeah, like, she's hunkered down.
It's mine. Yeah. And I'm like, are you really growling at your mom right now?
But like, I swear, girl doggies love she their loves daddies.
Him. She loves
like,
him.
Like, the girl dog that we have, Stella, is obsessed with Greg, won't leave his chest. He'll fall asleep in the recliner, and she's just right up on his chest asleep. Like, she loves him.
Don't get
but
me
the
wrong,
boys
she
are
loves
attached
me.
To me, so I'm like, that's fine. I don't got get, three boys, and they're as, attached to me, so Stella can have her daddy.
I said, don't get me wrong. She loves her mama, but, like, when he comes over for whatever reason, she is like... literally glued. Person. Like, she lays in his lap, and I'm like, hey, Crick, come here. Wait, like, come over here. And she's like, nah, I'm good.
The betrayal.
So, Olivia, I hate to say that we're out of time. We didn't get to any of the questions on Instagram. Oh,
so sorry.
But don't worry, guys.
I could literally talk to a brick wall.
Me too.
That just means we'll have to, like, do
another episode.
Again.
Yeah.
See what people want to hear.
So stay tuned for our ins and outs and questions.
Absolutely.
So until next time, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.